This is Faith Footnotes with Northwestern Publishing House, Episode 10. What does this mean? Answering faith questions together. Welcome to Faith Footnotes, Christian Conversations with Northwestern Publishing House. You can find us online at nph.net. My name is Joshua Vick.
And I am Tanya Gerbing.
And we are your hosts for Faith Footnotes.
Like our name suggests, this is a Christian podcast that is all about practical resources for connecting with Christ and Christian living. Typically, we will feature engaging conversations with Christian authors, explore helpful answers to common questions about the Christian life, dig deep into faith-related topics, and more.
Whether you're driving to work, folding laundry, or squeezing in a quiet moment with a cup of coffee, we're glad you're here. Today, we're diving into something you've probably heard something about before, but maybe not quite like this.
That's right. Home devotions. Not a new concept. But if you've been walking with Jesus for a while, you've probably tried them. On your own, with a spouse, or with kids. Maybe you found it challenging to keep going. Maybe it felt too complicated, too shallow, or just plain hard to fit in. Especially if you've got kids bouncing off the walls.
Hang on for a second. This conversation is really for anyone who wants to stay rooted in God's word and grow in faith.
Exactly. Whether you're a parent trying to raise your children in God's word, a couple hoping to grow deeper in scripture together, or someone living solo who wants a more intentional devotional rhythm, there's something here for you.
And today our guest is Jim Boggs, who brings a fresh take on this topic. He's the youth and family minister at St. John's Lutheran Church in Lannan, Wisconsin. Husband, dad of four, and someone who's found a way to keep God's word at the center of home life in a way that's simple and lasting.
He's been using a book called What Does This Mean? A devotional rooted in Luther's catechism. And he's not just using it at home. He's also been equipping dads and families in his church to lead devotions with confidence.
Let's get into it. Jim, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Great to be here and appreciate the opportunity.
So, Jim, let's start with your story. How did you first get connected to the book, What Does This Mean? And what drew you to using it for home devotions?
The author, Charlie Degner, has been a member of our congregation for 6 years. He's a gentleman that I have the utmost respect for. I think he is the definition of wise. And so when I heard he was writing this book a couple of years ago, as a youth and family minister, I was very anxiously awaiting for it to come out. So once I found out it was going to come out, I pre-ordered it. And then once we received it, my family and I have been using it for about 3 to 4 months now. One thing, as a dad with our kids at home, we've used a lot of different devotions, some Bible history, some topical devotions. I'm blessed to have a child who is 15 years old, 12 years old, 10 years old, and 7 years old. And this devotional has just been a tremendous blessing in the fact that it engages my children of all ages. And so we would say that we have not been disappointed with using this resource.
For someone who's never opened the book, how would you describe it in a nutshell?
It's very well laid out, brilliantly written. So how it works is it's based off the 364 questions from the catechism. And each devotion starts with the question from the catechism. Then it includes a section of scripture. And then Pastor Degner has written short devotions, very simple, tangible, and engaging. And then after that, there's an explore section where you can kind of add to the, to kind of dive deeper into the devotion. For example, a few months ago, we were going through the seventh commandment, and it talks about look around your room and think about all the different blessings that you have been given that you can see in that room. And then you talk about how you can use those blessings to give God glory. So just kind of engaging the kids and diving deeper into it. One note I would give to parents, there is a explore section on the bottom too. I would encourage you to take 2 to 3 minutes to look through that to kind of help the devotion run a little smoother. After that section, there are suggestions for memorization for your family. And it also includes one or two verses of a hymn that can be sung by the family, or it could be read like poetry. And then also it concludes with a prayer.
And if you're not so familiar with the catechism, like Jim said, it gets into topics like the commandments, the sacraments, a law and gospel, a lot of good content. Going back to your own personal experience, what have you noticed in your own devotional life or maybe that of your kids? What are you noticing that they've learned throughout this?
Yeah, Martin Luther wrote the Small Catechism because of his concern on how little people knew about the Bible that he was around, not just common people, but the clergy. And so he just couldn't believe how little people knew about the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, the Apostle Creed, the sacraments and confession. And so he wrote this book to be used by clergy and parents at home. And so what I found in this devotion, it just gets to the simple basic truths of the Bible. God's grace, his love for us, his forgiveness, eternal life, our sinfulness. And so it just has really given me an opportunity as a father and as a family just to dive into the very important basic doctrines of God's word. And these truths, I would say, are not just for the young. I mean, it's something my wife and I have to hear over and over again, are very thankful for the opportunity to discuss it with our children.
So the book is designed to be revisited over time as children grow and their understanding deepens. What do you think are the long-term benefits of using What Does This Mean repeatedly throughout the years?
One of my duties that I have at the church I serve at is I conduct liturgy for most services. And on Monday, Thursday, I use the Wells Foundation intros for the readings. And the reading for the first reading on Monday, Thursday, it started with, "The old covenant could modify behavior. The new covenant transforms hearts and minds." And it reminded me of a book I once read, and one section talked about whether intentionally or not, children are growing up with what they called the gospel of sin management. And in summary, what that meant is with having an improper view of law and gospel, children were coming away from church and their parents thinking that if I just do the right thing, God will love me. Do the right thing, God loves me, I'll be in a good relationship with him. And what they found is as those kids grow up with that improper foundational understanding of law and gospel, that a lot of them, when they go on their own and they commit what they might consider big sins like premarital sex or illegal drug use or something like that, they just give up the faith because they think that God could never love them. And I think what's just beautiful about this resource is it just gets to the heart of it, that we are lost and condemned creatures with no ability to save ourselves. But then it points over and over again to the solution of that problem, and that is Jesus. And so over and over again, we see that Jesus kept every commandment perfectly for us. Everything that we confess in the Apostles' Creed, Jesus did for us. God marked us as his children through the wonderful gift of baptism, and the Holy Spirit continues to work to sustain and strengthen the faith in our hearts through the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament. You can't get anything better than that. Just hearing that over and over again and being reminded of the wonderful gift of God's grace. And that's not something you learn when you're in fourth grade and then you're good. It's every day of our life until we meet our Savior in heaven.
I want to read a quote from the introduction of the book. It says, "Pastors are noticing that many children who enter their confirmation classes in seventh grade are poorly prepared to begin their class. How does What Does This Mean help prepare children spiritually, not just for the confirmation class, but for lifelong faith?"
Yeah, I think if I think back, I've probably taught catechism for about a decade of my ministry. And it's pretty evident when students walk in, you know, those who have a handle on Bible history and the foundational truths of the Bible and those that don't. I guess if I could, in a perfect world, as we're talking about this resource, I think it'd be wonderful if each child that comes to confirmation has gone through this resource at least a couple times. And I think what that would allow would be an opportunity to really dive deeper into the content in catechism class. And so one thing that we're going to do is at our congregation, trying to figure out, it's a new resource, so how do we use this? What we're planning on doing is when children enter second grade, I'm going to be meeting with all the parents of our second graders at the beginning of the school year and provide them with this resource, encourage them and guide them on how to best use it. And then pray that over the course of between second and seventh grade, when they enter into confirmation, that they would go through the book a couple times, that they're very well prepared to enter into catechism. And then we can have deeper discussions in seventh and eighth grade. And I think one of the issues that we face in the church is an outsourcing of Christian education by parents. They kind of think, oh, this is wonderful. We have a Lutheran elementary school. We have a Sunday school. We have catechism. I'll let the pastors take care of that, and I'll worry about all the other stuff. But I truly believe that parents are to be the primary faith educators of their children. And so I think when we went with this resource, getting in the hands of the people, it's such a beautiful, easy-to-use resource that will allow a true partnership where parents take on the primary role of educating their kids in the Christian faith, and then we get to serve as a complement to that. And what I hope is after they've used this resource, for years before catechism, during catechism, I'm able to reach out to the parents, let them know what section of the catechism we're going through, and they can complement what we're doing in the classroom at home. And one additional point to that, catechism class is such a wonderful blessing. I teach it. We have 28 kids, and I love the dialogue we have back and forth. But my son is in seventh grade, and he's in catechism class. And as I look out at the class, I love those kids, but I don't know what each of them are going through. What's beautiful is when we go through this resource at home, I know my son who's in seventh grade. And so it's easy to apply what's going on in his life in a more personal way at home than it might be objectively in a classroom.
So you've worked closely with families, and you will continue to work closely with families, and especially fathers, helping them to lead devotions. What's one piece of advice or encouragement you'd give to someone, whether it be a family, a single person, a married couple, someone who might be new to leading devotions, or someone who feels like they're just not ready to take that step?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed part of how I got this book into the hands of our fathers. We started a new dad's Bible study. I said, anyone that attends the Bible study will receive one of these free resources. And so we've had about, I don't know, anywhere from 12 to 16 dads over the last few months who have attended this class and received this resource. And the other day we were talking in our dad's Bible study that we as parents cannot create faith in the hearts of our children. It's just an impossible thing. That is a work of the Holy Spirit who uses the means of grace. But what we can do as parents is bring them to the Word as often as possible. And I think with regular church attendance coupled with family devotion, it's just a wonderful thing. And we kind of laughed the other day. We were talking about what is the one thing as a father that you want for your child as a Christian father? And it was unanimous. We want our children to know their Lord and Savior, to grow in the knowledge of Him, and to spend eternity with Him in heaven. And we talked about if that is what we want, how can we not talk about Jesus at home? The most important thing. So I would say you might not feel ready, and we're not. We're sinful people who are not perfect and we're going to fail. This resource is just beautifully laid out where you don't have to do the hard work, but you do get to do the joyful work of bringing the Word to your child and allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work, because He is the one that does it, not us.
In your work with fathers especially, have they expressed any kind of fear or resistance to implementing a family devotion?
Yeah, I would say, just to be honest, yeah. I mean, you can tell, especially, I think one of the most challenging is, and this is not to make you scared, but especially if your daughter's 13 or your son's, in their teenage years, and you're like, hey, everyone, we're going to start doing family devotions. And there can be some pretty big, this is not what we have done. And so I think there is a little bit of that, but that goes away very quick. And like I said, it just becomes, what a privilege God has given us. We can't create the faith in the heart, but man, we get to bring it to them. And I would like to say just one final thing. This resource just makes it so easy to use. Pastor Degner is so wise. His knowledge of God's word is so large. And for him to spend the time to put this together, it just puts it in your hand, and then you just bring it to your kids, and then you trust in the Holy Spirit to do exactly what the Holy Spirit does. And so yes, trepidation for sure, but I think that goes away very quick once you start doing it.
So as we've discussed, families with younger children, these devotions will help lay a strong foundation. But what about those families with teens or even adult children that are still living at home? What's your advice for continuing meaningful spiritual conversations at home as these kids grow older?
Yeah, I think that question is rooted in starting family devotions. I would recommend to start them as early as possible to make it a very natural part of the rhythm of your family. And when you build that foundation, when you're openly talking about Jesus regularly as a parent with your child, when they get into those teenage years, it's a very normal conversation. I think maybe in high school, we start thinking about how busy they are with dating and school and sports and work. It's a little harder to get a structured schedule. But when you've been talking about Jesus since they were 2 or 3 years old, it just becomes an everyday part of what you do. And so when they face challenges, when they need loving discipline, it's not awkward for you to talk about these because you've been talking to them for years about it. And I would say, I think too, when you have adult children and teenage children, this resource also provides opportunity for them to begin a personal Bible study, to encourage them to make time in God's word on a personal level part of what they do forever, starting young and then continue on to the rest of their their life. So I think building that foundation and then just having that be part of your normal dialogue in love with your teenager or your adult child is a wonderful thing. And then encouraging them to use this resource as well.
We're going to shift gears for a second here. And even though the book is designed for kids, especially in grades 2 to 6, although it's sounding like it can apply to kids of different ages, but focusing on your experience, Jim, what can adults get out of this book?
Yeah, I think just some practical examples I've heard of recent. So the other day I was talking to a pastor, and he said that over the last 2 months, he uses this book as his daily devotion. And this is a gentleman that was trained in all of this information. He's taught this information to so many people, but he just found it a breath of fresh air and edifying each day when he starts with the simple basic doctrines of the word. And then when we started the Dad's Bible Study and I announced that whoever attends will receive this free, what does this mean, family resource, we had a gentleman who is 97 years old in our congregation. He goes, how do I get one of these books? And I said, let me go to my office. And I went to my office and I gave him the book. And he's been so thankful to have received that book. A 97-year-old man, he's learned all those things before, but it's a good refresher and a good reminder. And then also I recently talked to a newly married couple, and they're trying to find a marriage resource, a devotional to work together. And they've been using this book, and what a wonderful gift that is for a newly married couple to just spend time in God's grace and his forgiveness and his love for us as they try to then live out that love for one another. And so I think those are good practical examples. And I just don't think there's an age where you say, well, that content's kind of boring or I don't need to hear that anymore. It's just something we need to hear each and every day. And if I could add one thing, I recently was preparing for something and I was studying the Theology of the Cross by Deutschlander. And it talked about crosses that people face at different ages. And one of them was talking about the crosses that people face in the golden years. And it talked about how as people face death, the devil wants nothing more than for them to say, look at what you have done, how sinful you are, how many things you left undone. And the devil wants us to turn away from Jesus and look to ourselves. And this book is just a reminder that, yes, we have failed and we've sinned, but we leave those at the cross because Jesus has done everything for us. So I think at any age, this is just a wonderful resource to utilize.
Let's go back to some of those examples you mentioned about the couple. And you said the 97-year-old thinking about how they might use this book. How can the principles from this book still apply in their personal devotional life? Or if it's a couple, how can it apply to their relationship with one another?
Yeah, I think as we mentioned before, it's just the basic doctrines of what we believe and teach. Sin, faith, grace, God's love, his redemption of us. And so I just think it's truths that you need to know. I think in the situation of a marriage, it develops a habit of confessing sins to one another and to being open and honest about our failings, because in a marriage relationship, it's full of fail. But also then it provides opportunity to offer that wonderful word of forgiveness. And then I think it leads couples to, as we just watch how much Jesus loves us unconditionally, because we know what we are, and yet he loves us. What a wonderful foundation for a couple to say, I don't love you because you did this or because you are like this. I love you because I love you. And it's unconditional, just as Christ loves us. We're going to fail at that, but what a guide to be in this resource together, to be led to love like Christ has loved us.
So the book emphasizes the importance of hearing God's word regularly at home. For those who are living alone, or if you're in a non-traditional family setup, what are some practical ways that these people can make their devotional life more engaging, especially when it might feel harder to maintain the momentum and accountability on their own?
Yeah, I think it is hard to be accountable on your own. I thought about this. We have a young adult group called Fellowship at our church. And I was just thinking about different uses of this resource. And I think what a great thing for young professionals that might be single to gather together as a small group and to use this resource and to say, hey, we're going to go through 3 or 4 of these questions and we're going to talk about them and just observe things about them. You know, they talk about the SOAP method where you spend time in scripture or a devotion. You make observations of what you are reading and things like that. And then you get to the application. How is Jesus speaking to me through this section of scripture or this devotion? And then I think what's really neat for accountability and just growing in relationship is our prayer life. We meditate on what we've just read and we really take it to heart when we bring it to the Lord and prayer. And so I think small groups would be a really neat way for single people to use this coming together. Maybe if you want to dive a little deeper, you can open this resource and then right alongside it, have the catechism open. Our new catechism has a lot of great insights, quotes from Luther, additional scripture readings and things like that, that can even dive what you're reading in this resource to dive even deeper. And then what I would say too, one of my favorite joys as a call worker is you come in the morning and you kind of start your day and you open your email and you have a question from one of your members saying, I was just doing a Bible study and can you help me understand this better? And what a wonderful thing to know that our people are studying God's word. And then utilize your call worker. And if you have questions, ask them. And that might help with accountability and to make you better understand what you're reading. So I think those are some possible uses of that.
And Jim, as you were talking about that small group setting, just made me think, you know, if you haven't looked at a catechism in a long time, you kind of get that idea of, oh, I did that 20 years ago in school and it's so basic. But when you go through these things, you can really get into some really deep topics. Have you experienced that at all?
Yeah, that's so interesting. I just, right when you said that, this story came to mind. I remember being in Texas and I talked to a gentleman who was 32 years old, just started serving on a church council. And he goes, you know what the best thing I ever did? He goes, I went to Lutheran Elementary School. I went to Christian high school. I went through all of it. He goes, the best thing I ever did was take like a bit class and start reading my catechism as an adult. He goes, I'm just such a different place than I was when I'm in seventh and eighth grade. We know what's going on in the mind of a seventh and eighth grader, of a high school student. And so these things that we just went through and we repeated back because we were told to repeat it back, it became real to him. Fully formed brain, understand it from his new station in life. And so I think those truths that you go back to your point about the catechism, I think that's one of the blessings for parents and anyone. So often we finish catechism, we're confirmed, and that book sits on a shelf not to be opened again. And so I think this resource just adds a complete refresher and to see it from a completely new perspective. One example would be, I said the Lord's Prayer, I don't know how many times from the time I was born until the time, you know, I was got married, and all of a sudden you become a father. And our father means a lot. It just, you see it from a totally different perspective as you're holding your young daughter, you know? So I think that the fresh view of it later in life is just a tremendous blessing.
Let's say someone's listening right now and thinking, Jim, this all sounds great, but I don't even know where to start. What's one small thing they could do today to bring God's word into their home or personal routine?
I would say first, just take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask him to guide you and give you the courage to start something new. And then I would say practically, just commit to doing it for a month. Maybe not 7 days a week for a month, but commit to making this a regular time. Me and my family, we've been starting to do this thing called Tech Oasis. We've been doing it for a month and a half where from 5 to 7 p.m., we just put all the tech away. TVs are off, tablets are gone. My wife and I, we put our phone away. And it provides opportunity for dinner together, to go on a walk together, to play a game together. But then we end that time with this resource. And so I think what you'll find if you commit to doing this for a month, people talk about when they really get into working out, the big switch for them is when they switch from I have to go work out to I cannot wait to work out. And I think when you commit to spending time in God's word together, family, you will find it to be the most rewarding thing possible. So when you do it, you'll switch from like, we got to do devotion to I can't wait to do devotion. And not every day, there's days, obviously, when kids are kind of in a bad mood or things like that. But I think you'll find tremendous joy, but you got to start. And so I would just recommend don't stall, take it to the Lord in prayer, make a plan and just do it. And one thing I would say to that finally is just think about the other day. One of the explore sections encourage you to read a section of scripture. And here I am with my family, you know, and I'm listening to my first grade son read God's word and knowing that the Holy Spirit's working in his heart. And so I think as a father or as any parent, what you want more than anything with a legacy, I just hope my kids, when they look back, they say, my dad was far from perfect. He wasn't a perfect man, but he brought me to see Jesus. And that's more important than any inheritance we can leave or any life skill we can teach our kid. And so don't be nervous about it. Just be excited for it because you are going to love doing family devotions. The joy that comes from being together, hearing God's grace, hearing his forgiveness, and seeing his love as a family. So I guess this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Well, thank you. This has been such a great conversation. Thanks for all the practical insight and tips and help Thanks for joining us today, Jim.
Really appreciate the opportunity. God bless you all and all of our families.
You can find the show notes and links to the resources discussed on today's show at blog.nph.net. Let us know what your biggest takeaway was from today's show in the comments section. And be sure to follow our show on your preferred podcast platform. We hope you join us next month for another great conversation.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Faith Footnotes from Northwestern Publishing House. Keep the conversation going by visiting nph.net.